In the Garden of Gethsemane, my dear friends, our Lord's agony began. Amidst the olive trees growing there, the ancient symbol of peace, Jesus Christ fell flat on the ground, his heart in turmoil. He was in an agony, and so great was his anguish, the Son of God then prayed that, if it were possible, that hour might pass from him. He called out to his eternal Father, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this chalice from me. Nevertheless, despite his desire to be freed from this torment, Jesus Christ resigned himself, praying, but not what I will, but what thou willest. What was it, my dear faithful, that so tortured the almighty God-man that he cried out to be freed from it? Our Lord saw before him all the sufferings he would soon experience in his passion. In Gethsemane, he felt the approaching pains of his own scourging, the thorns that would pierce his head, the cross dragging him to the ground, and the nails that would crucify him. He saw himself abandoned by his friends. He even beheld his own mother, the swords of sorrow piercing her immaculate heart as she stood sorrowing beneath the cross. Our Lord allowed his human nature to grow fearful of the torture he would soon endure. But that, my dear faithful, was not all. That was not the greatest weight of the agony, what crushed our Savior to the ground. Blessed Cardinal Newman explains the agony in these words. He had to bear what is well known to us, but to him was woe unutterable. Our Lord had to bear that which is so easy to us, so natural, so welcome even, but which to him had the scent and the poison of death. He had to bear our sins. Cardinal Newman then explains why those are such tremendous words, that God bore our sins. Consider what sin is in itself. It is rebellion against God, a traitor's act that aims at the overthrow and death of his sovereign. Sin is, the cardinal tells us, sin is what, could God cease to be, sin would be sufficient to bring about the death of God. You see, my dear faithful, God created the universe to follow his infinite will. Nothing happens that does not obey the reign of the King of Kings, from how bright every star shines, to where the wind blows each particle of dust. All submits to the divine will, and this glorifies God. But he wanted something more. God Almighty longed for a free obedience, souls to choose his will, someone for him to love and do good to, and to freely love his infinite goodness in return. And thus he created creatures with free will. Man may choose to embrace the divine majesty or to reject him. And sin is that rejection of God's infinite love. So deep a wound this causes that, could God die, he would die of sorrow at this. And yet, Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins. Cardinal Newman then gives a small glimpse of what that means, the tremendous abyss of sorrow it signifies. In that most awful hour knelt the Savior of the world, putting off the defenses of his divinity, in opening his arms, sinless as he was, to the assault of sin. Sin clad his spirit in a robe steeped in all that is hateful and heinous in human crime, which clung close round his heart and filled his conscience till he almost felt a foul and loathsome sinner himself. What the carnal is saying is that our Lord saw the sins of the entire human race as if he himself had committed them. Or as St. Paul put it, him who knew no sin, he hath been made sin for us. What horror, what shame, what guilt Jesus Christ bore during his agony in taking upon himself our crimes. Cardinal Newman continues describing what our Lord experienced. Are these the hands of the Immaculate Lamb of God, once innocent, but now red with 10,000 barbarous deeds of blood? Vows broken, the innocent betrayed, the young hardened, the penitent relapsing, the willfulness of passion, the obduracy of pride, the tyranny of habit. Impurity, blasphemies, murders, perversion and adulteries, hatred and disobedience, pride and anger, every sin man is capable of, your sins and my sins. Our Savior experienced it all that dreadful night. And if his divinity did not sustain him, then the God-man would have died from sorrow. It is certain, St. Alphonsus says, that had we sinned less, thou, my Jesus, would have suffered less. Seeing this great burden that our Lord suffered, think, my dear faithful, of what you have added to this weight. Go over your past, examine your conscience. Are you guilty of pride, refusing to brook any opposition because you think you know better, because you think you are better? Have you fallen into anger, taking justice into your own hands? That is so rarely ever just. Have you wounded the Sacred Heart by giving into impurity? Maybe you turned your back upon God by sloth because he just wasn't worth your time or your effort. Or have you ever given into despair, doubting the infinitely merciful God who embraced the cross for you, that he would ever abandon you? In the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord foresaw all sins, your sins and my sins. And yet, knowing all this, the sheer agony he would suffer in bearing them, Jesus Christ still offered his will in union with his Father's. Our blessed Savior saw, on the one hand, the terrible injustice done to his eternal Father by sin. On the other hand, he saw the horrible yet just punishments which awaited mankind for those same sins. Seeing the souls of men condemned to hell, our Savior places himself between divine justice and the punishment due to sin. His most sacred heart, ever merciful and compassionate, would not abandon man to perdition. He would not abandon you. He would not abandon me. Even as Jesus was so overcome with grief that he began to sweat blood, he embraced this guilt for love of us. Even when Judas, one of his own beloved apostles, gave him the traitor's kiss, he offered it as a Savior's grace for our souls. Even when the leaders of his own chosen people had soldiers capture him and drag him to trial to condemn him, he accepted it so that we would not be condemned. Even when he was led before Pilate, a foreign judge who would condemn even the innocent to death for political gain, throughout it all, he looked to you and to me, offering all to save our souls, hoping and praying that we would love him. Let us continue examining our own consciences, my dear faithful. Let us see what our sins have done to our Jesus. And let us have compassion on our Savior.